Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Tonight, I just want to share this message as a parting gift. Right? I won't call this a sermon. You can say that this is a reflection of a youth pastor in Kus. And this is my desire. I think that the very things that we stand for as a Kus youth family, that you will continue to deepen and deepen. And I know that we always talk about discipleship, as disciples of Christ. I pray that each one of you will grow from strength to strength. And I hope today this message, whatever I share, will just propel you, compel you, encourage you to do that. Shall we just pray? Father, we just ask that you be with us. And I pray, Lord, that whatever that I speak, Lord, that you will enter into, this seed will enter into every heart. It will grow and you will bear fruit. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Valentine's Day. I know a lot of us, not a lot of us. Maybe some of you will be thinking, am I going to preach a message on BGR? Yeah. Just now I do the video, everybody laugh. Like, wow, how many couples does Vic take pictures with? You know, I know I love to walk with different people in this area. But tonight I'm going to preach about love. Tonight I'm going to preach from this verse that I think we all know very well. I hope that when I share this verse and this message, that somehow the Word of God will just go deeper in you. I'm going to preach from John 3:16. You know, if you have your Bible, you can turn to that. For those that really remember this verse by heart, you know, you can recite it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Tonight, I just want to share three principles that I feel in my last 9 years in ministry, that I've both gone through, I've learned, I've hopefully taken it deeper, and I pray that these three principles is something that I can leave with you, my memories, and you can say that this is what I personally have gone through. My first principle, and maybe my own personal mission, live a life of love. It's that simple. The number one principle, live a life of love. For God so loved the world. This love, this word is often overused, misinterpreted in many ways. You know, and I often ask myself, what does it mean to be a person of love? What does it mean? I look at the Bible, it talks about love so many times, but there's one that I thought is concise, one verse that it really, really, you know, captures the heart of it. And I would like us to turn to this short verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 12. If you can project it up, that's fine. If not, it's okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. I'm going to read from NIV. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. When I look at these three verses, I realize that to be a person of love, it comes back down to just one simple truth. It starts with knowing really the degree of how much God loves you and I. It starts with God. Love always originates from God. So it's not so much about you and me, but it's really about how much we appreciate what Jesus has done on the cross. This is the love of God. So you read, this is love, not that we love God. Sometimes we make this idea of us responding to God. In fact, I can tell you this, is quite interesting. If you really examine all the kind of songs we sing now, majority emphasize about this love of us to God. Interestingly, but the Bible says, this is love. Not that we love God, but the starting point is God loving us. He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, I think that it's easy to think that we know, but when we know what is love, but when we look at the later two verses, verse 11 and verse 12, I think there is a realization. Over the years as a pastor, I realized this. That it's not about me. The more we believe in Christ, the more I believe that the Lord loves me, the more it will be shown in my life. It ultimately will be shown. My response, my love for God is a fruit. You know, if you really, really believe that God loves you, that the love starts from Him, it manifests out in your life. And I begin to realize that, you know, in my last 9 years. Can I say this, that I realized that my ability to love others is linked to my ability to receive love from God. It's correlated. The golden rule. Some of you know the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Do unto others what you want others to do unto you. That's a kind of a link. You know, you don't just come and say, oh, I can love this person, I can love that person, and I can love God. The Bible says, unless you come and receive this truth, that this is the love of God. It comes from Him. It's represented ultimately by Jesus dying on the cross. It changes your life. Your life manifests it. I begin to ask myself, if I really believe in this God who loves me, am I really a person of love? Am I? I tell myself I must make every effort to live it out. Every effort, you know, to collect feedback on knowing, am I a loving person? I ask people around me. And I guess you can say that over the last 9 years, I discovered some hard truths about myself. You know, and over the years, I think God has been changing my heart. And I'm glad in a certain way. Let me just share something personal. I discovered that I'm not so loving after all. In the last 9 years. It was a hard truth. But I realized this in one of the symptoms. That it's easy for me to love those who agree with me. I actually work with a lot of people. And many of you are sitting down there. I've often faced a lot of people who oppose me. I face a lot of people who argue with me. I face a lot of people who will refuse to accept my advice and my counsel. And then I realize that I often interpret this vote of no confidence as a lack of respect for me, as a lack of love for me. And my response is, I'll distance from these people. Some I will even ignore. And I realize that more and more. And I realize the group of people that I keep going to work with are people who accept my words, my advice, my counsel. And then I realize that I don't think that's what Jesus does. I don't think that's what God has called me to as a pastor. And it was a hard realization. Many of you who work with me, you know that it's not easy to work with someone called Vic. I begin to grow in my self-awareness. Can I say that I realize more and more that Jesus is not like me. I'm not like Jesus. I need to overcome this challenge. I really need to overcome. I dig deep and ask myself, what does the Bible have to say? And can I share this truth that I discovered? In StrengthsFinder language, it matches me perfectly as an activator. But I realize that the Bible keeps talking about this command. It says, love. Go and love. Go and do this. Go and do likewise. I realize that when I feel negativity towards someone, it's an emotion. Some people tell me, hey, don't be upset. Hey, don't be unhappy. I realize that I get more frustrated. I'm sure some of you might feel the same way. Because you know you can't command your emotions to change. It doesn't. But I discover that the Bible has a remedy for it. It doesn't say, now go and change your emotions. Don't feel upset anymore. But it says, go and love. You can act in love. And I realize that that is something I can do. Emotions cannot be commanded, but actions can. I can take responsibility for my action. Now, many couples can come into a place where they fight and the emotions is really, they get very upset with one another. Can they suddenly command like, no, let's be loving? Immediately, it can't be. But let me tell you, I also discovered that in a time where both are emotionally upset with one another, both can act in love, both can still love. Let me tell you what I mean. For me, to act in love is to stop and listen. I realize that I like to fight back. I like to debate. I talk a lot. For me to stay quiet is often very hard. Often I feel, maybe this is the immaturity in me. When someone opposes me, I need to defend, I need to fight back. But I realize that I can act in love. And when I act in love, it means I take a step back and I stop and I listen. There are many ways to act in love. Sometimes it's a matter of just saying sorry. Does that make us hypocritical? Maybe the question that that's what you're thinking is, but I don't feel like it. When I do it, is that hypocritical? Think about that. I think my answer is no. How many of us actually go to school or go to work, say to our bosses or our teachers and say, sorry, I don't feel like coming to school today. I feel extremely hypocritical that I'm here. No, you just do it. Why? You have to. You just act. Your emotions tell you something, but you simply just act. You understand what I'm saying? I think there's a big difference in being hypocritical. But I realize this, when your desire is to reflect who Christ is, and you want to live a life of love, even when you don't feel like it, you can act lovingly. And I want to say this because this is what I think makes a big part of my life here in Kus. Living a life of love is something I never thought God would teach me. I thought I'd come here and I'll be preaching the word of God. It's easy, you know, and I'll do great things. But God shaped me. God shaped me to help me to understand that I can choose to act in love. And it's not a very easy place to be in when you have tons of people. I face a lot of discouragements all the time, a lot of criticism, you know, a lot of negativity. And there are many times I think this heart of mine can easily be hardened. Over the last couple of years, I discovered that God is more interested to change my heart. He asked me constantly to act in love. And can I say that I'm very inspired by many who teach me this ability to love. I have people like Peter, like Joy, like Tina, you know, constantly they remind me, you can do it. I want to pay special mention to Tina. There are many people that I really find and I struggle to love in this ministry. And can I say that there are many times I give up. And Tina comes to me and says, Vic, you can. You can do it. And I choose to overcome. Why? Because I choose to live this life of love. See, church, it's not about doing great programs. To be a person, to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, I think this is the most important attribute. You live this life of loving. So, I think that over the time, I intentionally oriented my heart to be more people-oriented rather than results-oriented. I realized that I'm quite results-oriented, you know, in the past. This motivation to love helps me to bounce back I'm very aware, okay? I'm being caught hard, you know, I'm like hard on people. Like, I can be a slave driver, like I go for results all the time. You know, people are fearful of me. You know, my most often quote in the cards I receive, my wife says that to me, because she also reads my card, is, Vic, I used to be very scared of you. Most often quoted in all the cards I receive. Yeah, like 8 out of 10 cards I receive from one of you guys often have this one line. I used to be very scared of you. It's quite funny for me. Now, I think that I just want to say that because I choose to be people-oriented, a lot, a part of me has changed. Now I have received feedback that says, Vic, you seem to have lost the kind of drive and the kind of conviction, like I can stand here and preach and shout and scream and, like, I don't know, some of you think I'm fanatic or something. Yeah. I know I used to do that in the past. I've watched podcasts of my first few sermons and I thought I'm crazy. And now people say that, hey, you're a lot more gentler. There's meekness. And I know that it's not me. But I just want to say that when you desire to come and live this life, God changed you. And I want to say this as an encouragement to those of you who struggle to love. You can. Because this heart of stone can be turned into a heart of flesh. And I say that's something that I have. And I think God has changed me. And to me, this journey of being with you guys has shaped me. You know, and I tell those of you who want to be a pastor, you aspire to be, you're in a great place. Because it's not about what you can do for the ministry. The biggest journey that I enjoy as a youth pastor is God shaping and changing me. My second principle. For God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. He gave His one and only Son. And this is my second principle encouragement to all of you. 5 words. Be givers more than takers. Okay, you can write this down. Be givers more than takers. Over the years, I have the privilege of serving with many pastors and leaders. Pastor Jen, Peter, Tina, Joy, Chris Ho, you know, and many of you. Marcus Chong, Hannah, La, my dream team. I love them. You know, they changed me, they shaped me. But one of the things that I learned, you know, is that I really am with a group of people who are givers, not takers. You know, I served with Pastor Peter for many years, since we were youth. And he has not changed till today. Do all the things that nobody sees. He can pick up litter. He can do all the things. He can clear all the mess that you guys left behind. And it's still him. No complaints. Just do it. Just give. Just serve. That's Peter. I'm inspired. I just want to say that to him. You know, I saw this time where Tina and Joy went to help this homeless lady and just attend to her. It makes me feel like I'm very heartless, you know. I was like, wow, I really work with a group of people who are amazing. Couple of days ago, I was at IT with some friends. And I met our dear Hannah Lewison. And I'm like, what are you doing here? I'm doing follow-up. Huh? Follow-up? Yeah. It's not even with one of our church youth. And the people who were with me, my friends, it's like, I can't understand that you have a leader that go all the way, like, so far to do a follow-up. You know, and I said, yeah. And that's why she's in my dream team. Yeah. I can go on and on, but I've learned that they are givers more than takers. If you aspire to be a great leader, they are great examples for you. Because they are great examples to me. You know, I give, and I don't think I'm very good at giving, but these people inspire me more and more. I want to say this. It's not just a principle that I'm sharing. I want to say this to encourage all of you, because I see this growing already in our midst. A lot. And I'm very encouraged. And one of the reasons why I can live, and I live with this heart settled and knowing that many of you will rise up, is because I see a big change. A big change for many people here. And I live with that peace. I want to talk about someone, Nat Gui. I'll talk about her giving. And many people just think, oh, she go to camp, then she will just ask you to do crazy things like me or that. Yeah. But you know, when she served with me last year in being a giver, you know, she do all the background work. She does the outreach. She have to go all the way to Woodlands, you know, and talk to the t-shirt supplier. Yeah. And did a planning for me in the leaders retreat. Still do ushering. Still help out in ushering at the wedding. And you know, still concerned about her family. One day I was with her. She's like, oh, I need to go and visit my grandma. You know, I need to bring lunch for her. And still telling me I have tons of projects and work to do. Guys, I'm sharing this because sometimes it's easy for you to just judge someone based on like, you know, what you see her do. But I respect and I love what you give. I know that because a lot of what I do in the background, they are not seen. And I'm sharing this because many of you, I'm just sharing what I can go on and on. Many of you are really growing in that. And I'm sharing to those, you know, who maybe you are at this place, you are taking more than giving. You rise up. Because many people around you are understanding and are breaking through. And I'm proud of those who have taken these principles strongly in their life. None of us are perfect. But this is why we are here. We are here to change, to be changed by God and break through. One of the most common comments I hear is, I don't think these cells fit me. I don't quite like it. And I can understand where this comes from. But this principle, I hope, will stay with you, because I want to ask you to imagine, if you take this principle and you live out, you go to any cell group and you think about this, I'm going to be a giver more than a taker. I'm going to seek to be a friend to many. I'm going to seek to be an encourager to many. I'm going to seek to be a servant, and I'm going to give. How will you evaluate yourself? How will you evaluate the people around you? You will evaluate from the eyes of a giver. It will be a very lousy cell if they don't allow you to give anything. Don't allow you to serve anywhere. Then I think you should get out of the cell. Not for you. And then you should tell Pastor Peter something wrong with this cell group. But can I say this? If you go into any group, any ministry, any cell group, and you have this mentality, give more than take. I suspect that this comment, my cell is quite lousy, no good, will greatly decrease. Can I say that? It's a certain level of maturity. Can you grow in that? I believe so. And I know that there are many cell groups that have really changed, that have broken through. And I just want to share this to encourage, you know, you guys. The Bible talks about, you know, it's much more blessed to give than to receive. This is where the principle come from. Can I also say this? God gave. God gave His one and only. Do you think it cost Him? Do you think giving is easy? It's not easy to change your mindset. Everywhere you go is about convenience. This culture where we are at, this city, everything is about efficiency, it's about convenience. But can I say this? In God's eyes, giving is about your conviction. It's never convenient. If you choose this path of taking convenience, you will probably keep being stagnant. But if you understand giving is about what you stand for, what you believe in, what you value, even if it is painful, even if it inconveniences you, even if it's hard, you give. And I know that more and more, when I have Lucas, you know, he only know how to cry and shout and ask for everything. At this point, he's growing to be a giver. Yeah. My mom very good, have taught him to wash clothes, yeah, pack things. I'm like, wow, my mom is very good, teaching him to give. Yeah. I have videos of him like taking tons of things into washing machine, press buttons, and the washing machine start washing clothes. Super, no? 2+ years old. Challenging you guys. 2+ years old can wash clothes already. I got video to convince you, okay? Yeah, it's not anything, anyhow say one. I'm sure you can do better. It's not about convenience. I don't think there's anything, there's no such thing as being a lazy disciple. It's a narrow road. Amen. Can I say this, that this is a hard truth. Jesus died on the cross to serve you and I. If you choose to take a convenient way out, can I say you cheapen grace? You cheapen what Jesus has done on the cross. Every time you choose to do something for convenience sake, especially when it comes to serving and giving, you cheapen what Jesus has done on the cross. Think about that. I hope you can be challenged on this point. And I'm going, moving to my last point. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What does it mean to believe in Jesus and have eternal life? Interestingly, in the same book of John, in John 17 verse 3, Apostle John wrote, now, eternal life is this, to know Jesus, whom God has sent, to know him so intimately. And when I look at this word, to believe in him, so that you won't perish but have eternal life, I see a picture of not a person who has reached his destination. I see a picture of a person who made a decision in his heart. I believe. And starts on a journey. My third principle that I want you to think about and hopefully embrace is this simple truth. Take ownership in your walk with God. I know I talk about this a lot, but it's my last message as a youth pastor. I want to repeat that. My last point. Take ownership in your walk with God. It's really about having faith in Jesus. When you take ownership, it's really about asking yourself, what do you believe? In with your belief, what are you going to do about it? What steps can you take? Do you own your own spiritual life? You know, in my 9 years, I got a shock when I tried many different programs. I thought like there were some fantastic sermons that were preached, and like we did camps and stuff, but our ministry didn't change. Our quality didn't quite reach what we would like it to be, the quality of discipleship. And one of the reasons I found out was this, a low ownership of our walk with God. We live our spiritual life, I use this term vicariously. It's like, I see this leader, he does this, so I do. Or people tell me to do this, so I do. Everything is based on what people tell me to do. Everything is based on what I see people do. I don't even think about whether does this have meaning. You know, the pastor says, amen, amen. What does it mean? Never think about it. Never know what it means. This is what I call low ownership. You don't even know what this Christian life is all about. And possibly you live in that fear where one day someone finds out. Someone asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? You say, wow, so difficult to answer. You can ask someone else. Can I say this? for the entire youth ministry to rise up. It takes every single one of you to rise up in your own ownership, in your walk with God. I've served in the ministry for many years. I've served alongside leaders who have backslided. I've served many years in the worship team that I thought, wow, it's like so committed. Every week come, play, practice. I serve a lot alongside leaders who come, lead cell every week. You know, they walk away from Jesus. Some of them, when you look at their life, it's like you only can see that they are quite committed people. But you think deeper about their spiritual walk. And you know deep inside, like when we look at each one of us, it's like empty. Nothing much. In many years in ministry, I discovered that. And I begin to ask myself, do I have high ownership with my walk with God? Can I say this? I discovered, and maybe I'm going to leave so I can share this openly. It's not very hard to deceive young people. I didn't go to Bible school, but I can look like an expert. I've learned all the tricks and skills to pretend I'm an expert. What convicted me is that if I don't have high ownership in my own walk with God, I lead from nothing. I lead with emptiness. And I know that's not what I want. And I realize if for me to be an effective youth pastor, to be an effective youth leader, I need to learn the word of God. I need to let God change me. I ask myself, what steps do I need to take to be changed? So I'm sharing this because I hope that each one of us can embrace that reality. Wherever you are, there's one step that you can take, one step at a time, to take ownership in your walk with God and grow towards Him. Is it easy? Now, I really don't think so. But it's worth it. And I also discovered that people who have high ownership in their walk with God often has some quite amazing stories. Stories of their own faith, of their life. Have you ever heard people tell stories about their faith? I realize it's always correlated. People who can tell great stories about their spiritual journey and their walk often has very high ownership. And those of us who don't have much stories to tell, I guess it is obvious. And I realized for myself, it's like, hey, it can't be. You know, like, I can't have like no stories. I can't only just talk about the Bible, you know, and then display some great knowledge. And then my life, right, no story, you know. No story of how I overcome. No story of how I walk with God. It can't be. And I realize that it's correlated. When you have high ownership, you walk through difficult times. You come out of it, you have an amazing story to tell. It's okay if you are struggling. In fact, sometimes that is the start of wrestling with God. It is that start of taking that ownership in your life. And I begin to realize that people who have high ownership know that God is not impressed by our performances. God is never impressed. But God looks at a heart that's broken. God seeks a relationship that's real, that's genuine, that's authentic. You know, and I realize this. I can hear a lot of success stories and I'm inspired. But whenever I hear stories of failures, and how these people overcome, I'm inspired 10 times more. Because I know I'm someone with lots of failures. I think you know what I mean. So, this is what I want to share. And I think that over the last 9 years, I can tell story after story. A personal breakthrough for me. To even have a greater ownership in my walk with God. I thought I have. But when I come in as a youth pastor, I realize that no, I don't. And I need to up that level. Will you join me to continue to do that? Grow in your ownership. Take responsibility for your own walk with God. You know, it's your life. No one can live it for you. Feed on the word of God. Go and serve. When nobody asks you to do anything, do something. Do something that requires faith. Don't just do the things that is routine. Do something that requires you to trust in God. To end off this point on ownership, I want to do an activity. I'm going to ask a special group of people, amazing group. Are y'all ready? Yeah, of course you can come up now. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask this group of people to come. I'm going to do this activity and you will know what this is about. Can y'all come quickly? Thanks. Yeah. Hannah, can I have you play something on the keyboard? Yeah. I know you got adaptability, so never mind. This is what I'm going to ask them to do, okay? I'm going to ask them to put 10 chairs in a circle. And once they have done that, you know, and I'm going to tell you this is an activity I'm going to ask them to do. And there's a point to it. Very nervous, you can tell, right? Yeah. But don't worry, I'm not going to make fun of you, okay? Yeah. Okay, everybody must have a chair. And then stand in front of one of the chair. Okay, I'm going to do this from the side so that y'all can watch. Yeah. All have? Right? Can everybody stand in front of one chair? Okay, this is, stand in front of your own chair. What's got an empty chair there? Oh. Okay, can I join the chairs together? Okay. Huh? Who's the one more? Why are y'all sitting down? Oh, this one is the blur sotong kind, you know. Army understand. Yeah, hey, hurry up. Yeah. Okay, this is what we're going to do, okay? Yeah, I say 1, 2, 3, everybody sit down together. Very simple, right? 1, 2, 3. What's your name? Nigel. Okay, must sit a bit faster. Must sit together. Okay, everybody stand up again. Yeah. Okay, when I say 1, 2, 3, everybody sit down together, okay? 1, 2, 3, sit down. Okay, this is the standard that I want. Everybody sit down together, okay? Now I'm gonna do an activity. Everybody stand up. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you to walk in clockwise direction. Right? And I'm gonna ask Hannah to play some music. Yeah, clockwise. Clockwise, huh? Yeah. No one can talk. No one can have any gesture. The objective is all 10 of you must sit down together. Okay? Ready? Clockwise, huh? Okay, go. Okay, Hannah can play some music. The objective is for all of you to sit down together, like just now. Right? Yeah. Y'all can decide at your own time when you want to sit down, but you must sit down together, otherwise fail. They like walking in circles. Okay, very good. Stand up. Did they achieve it? Yes? Okay. What's her name? Sorry. Timothy, come. I want to ask you this question. Yeah. So I want to ask you, how did you manage to sit down all together? What happened?
It's just that. I see the guy in front of me beginning to sit down. It's like, okay, quick, go. Kind of like army.
Who is the guy in front of you? That's Kenzo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw him like, how do you sit down? You just sit down.
Yeah, I was like, the moment I saw him kind of just like twitch, I was like, okay, sit down.
Okay. Yeah. Come, Nigel. Yeah. That's your observation. So how do you sit down?
It's a secret.
It's a secret. No, but you have to tell all of us.
Okay. Because our cell is very bonded,
mm-hmm.
So we understand each other, and so we know when we want to do things, and we can do things together.
Really? Okay. Very good. Okay, you can return your seats, you can leave the chairs there. Okay. Can leave the chairs there. You all must be wondering, what's the point of this activity, right? This is my point, okay? And this is the first time I try it. Yeah. Most of the people are not like them. And this is one super powerful demonstration of what I call high ownership. Everybody can work together. Often it takes one person. Often in a group like this, people will be all walking in circles until someone gets fed up and say, let's just do it now. Often we walk in circles and we get really frustrated. Some groups, maybe like them, it's like, no. Let's all do something together. But do you know that in most groups that you go to, there can be people who love to walk in circles? I think the Bible proved that by the Israelites. They walk and walk and walk, until Joshua can lead them out. What's my point? Very simple. Ownership. Do you know that if all of you just watch them, maybe within them someone took the initiative, and said, let's do it now. Some secret code, but they are so good, right, that we cannot notice. But someone took the initiative. Or maybe they all really can be so united in their spirit and they do this together. I want you to imagine this. What would it be look like if you, as a Coast Youth Ministry, can attain this kind of unity? Think about that. If you can't attain that kind of unity, would you be the one who can rise up and maybe give some quote and say, hey, let's do it? I want to share this as an ending part. I think we have rise up. And I think it's time for more people to rise up. And I say this because I know there are many groups. They have risen to another level. Many cell groups. Many years ago, you only hear a pastor preaching. Everything that you look at, it's all staff or same people doing the same thing over and over again. When I look at Christmas being a giver, when I saw how many people use what they are really good at to serve, when I went out to the community and I see these are people who choose to avail themselves and serve, inside me, I'm like, this is what we stand for as a ministry, that we rise up. We rise up. The reason why I can let go is because I know that somehow inside me, in my spirit, I know that there's a breakthrough. There is a breakthrough. There are many people who have stepped up and rise up. One of them is Anna. Anna's there. Anna was my 2IC. Actually, she's the IC. I'm the pastor in charge, right, during the outreach. And for me, it's like, wow, it's great. Great job. Great leader. When she told me, Vic, I'm willing. I'm willing to step up to lead the JC cluster as a supervisor. I'm really pleased. Because I know that there are many fears that we all battle. I too have fears that I battle. It's not easy to come to that conclusion. But it's that willingness to trust God. I know in the upcoming Polite Camp, Lisa is camp commandant. I was like, great. I can go on and on. I know Sasha and Melody have stepped out and now leading a cell. I love that. I know after many years, finally our dear Mr. John Chua said, okay, now my turn. I bow the entire polite. Count on me. Yeah. I can name a lot. And I want to say this to all of you. Every one of us can rise up to take hold of what God has given to each one of us. Some of you, to rise up doesn't mean you do a lot of big things. To rise up simply is to have a breakthrough in your own walk with God. That you take that ownership and you say, enough, I'm going to live this life and I want to walk with God. I'm going to be a disciple and I'm going to make disciples. It's my life. Some of you will step up in position. You will lead. You know, and you will teach. You will inspire others to do the same. And I just want to say this to all of you. That I didn't magically appear here. Many, many years ago, the same challenge was thrown to me. Today, I throw this challenge to all of you. I know many years ago, someone preached a message like this and I said, God, it's my own walk with you and I'm going to lay hold of that. And I told God what I desire. I never looked back. Was there challenges? There was. I overcome. I learned to do the things that nobody likes to do. I also don't like to do. I just do it and I learn. When I try serving, I realize that not so easy. Yeah, you have to face many difficult people, test your patience a lot, but I grew. I learned to study the Bible so that I can lead word in cell group. But it has helped me gone deeper. Each one of us can have that place to grow. The question you need to ask yourself, what is the next step for me? What can I do? Just one step to grow deeper in God. 2015, what will it be like for you? My own journey is I'm going to step up and do something I've never done before. That's my journey. And I pray that the same God who is with all of us, you know, will guide us and direct us through. Like, it's a privilege to share this message. I hope I didn't bore all of you. It's my own reflections. 9 years. And I would like to end this time. I'm getting worship team to come. I would like to end this time really by allowing God to speak. I know God is doing something in each one of our hearts. You know, I say that statement a lot, but often it's for us to discover what it is. I'm always telling you the truth. God is always doing something in your heart. The question is, are you discovering? Are you knowing what it is? Tonight, as we end this time in this worship song, I pray that this is the question that you ask. God, what are you doing in my heart? What is the next step I can take? Take ownership of my walk with you. Shall we stand? Let's bring the focus back to God and let's worship Him. Ask Roy and Grace to lead us.
The whole of shame. Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Let's just close this time by asking the Lord to give us a vision of who He is, a vision of who He is in our lives. That the Lord is magnified and glorified in each of your lives. And just begin to ask the Lord right now to give you a vision of how great and how glorious He is, and how His greatness and glory can even be revealed through you and I. The Lord is just downloading that upon us tonight. Each of you, no matter how young you are, no matter how insignificant you might see yourself, the Lord is truly great, and His glory is truly revealed in the lives of every willing heart, of every heart that desires to be more and more like Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, would you just do that tonight among all of us here? Just to birth forth by your Spirit a new vision of the great and glorious King in our lives. That when we look at ourselves, we no longer just see ourselves in our limitations, but we see ourselves as vessels of your glory, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whatever that picture might be tonight, as you revealed, I also pray that you'll seal it deep within our spirit, so that each of us will walk away from this place knowing that as your children, that we will truly shine for you, God. Thank you, Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I just speak faith over you tonight, that you will never forget, but you will hold on to the vision that God has given to you for His life, for your life, so you can truly be who He has made you to be. Amen. May all God's people say, amen, amen. Shall we just give the Lord a big hand? The Lord is a personal God who will meet with you and who will show you His very heart for you. You know, and before you go, I just want to take this time just to honor and appreciate Pastor Joy and Pastor Vic for the way that you have demonstrated to us, you know, what does it mean to be the children of God and to be the servants of the Lord and to be the role models of God's people. Alright, so young people, right, wherever you are, why don't we just give them a round of appreciation once again. And take this time to really honor them for their faith, for their years of service, for exemplifying that Christ-likeness to each of us. And I will say that you are a part of family, right? So, you know, even for the rest of you, if you have yet to say something to appreciate them, all right, after the service is over, you can still do that. All right, next week, there's no new service. So, in advance, on behalf of all the pastors, I wish you a happy Valentine's Day and a happy New Year. All right, God bless you. We'll see you doing our main services.